Katrina Schroeder on the flute. She is one of our high school graduates this year. Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We welcome people from all religious, racial, and ethnic backgrounds and all sexual orientations. We are a lay-led congregation, and I am Erin Bosch, the immediate past president. Gosh, it feels good to say that. This morning we have we're going to zip through our program, I'm hoping. That is why I purposely did not do a printed order of service, but I did a flip chart so I can say prelude. The reason we are doing this is because, in case you haven't noticed, outside we have a maypole. So we are going to be outside dancing for a goodly portion of the morning, and Norma told me it takes quite a while, so I'm putting everything in fast forward here. So, opening word, meditation, we're not doing that. Children's story. The past few years I've used the same children's story. It's called I Love You Forever. And I like to do, I figure once a year is not too often to repeat a story. And besides, I grew up Catholic, and so we had the same gospel every Sunday, every year. So I think that's a good thing, but I'm not going to do that. So I'll just remind you, you know, it's the one where the little boy grows up and the mother rocks him even when he's old. You know, you remember that one. So we're not going to do that. Joys and concerns. I do want to give the opportunity for really important joys and concerns. If you came here this morning and had something that you were going to say, we definitely want you to say that. But we're not going to say the birds are singing, okay? So I know Sarah has a really important one. So you go first, Sarah.
My graduation from the program, but I'm here until my graduation. Oh, my God.
Fun because they're going to get to dance around the maypole with us.
Dave. Mr. Jordan Charles, this is our last Sunday. The family we're not sitting for is coming home a little early. So we'll be leaving the joy, we'll be going back to our farm. And the further joy is through the good offices of Mary Lou Deal. We have a house lined up for 4 months next week.
All right. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And Rachel.
Arnold and I actually gave him Smith and his wife you up on a very auction item of having Caleb found to his birthday of the wild plants in our property. He's called Mark. And he was just delightful yesterday to have him down, not to see him go down, but to know what we had growing. It was really
great. Alita. There, Megan? Yeah?
It's a donate. Yesterday we had a 50-mile bike ride for the diabetes and we had a lot of fun to
do. Two joys to report. One is that next Sunday, we will be hosting our picnic at our place starting at 10 o'clock. We'll go to 2 o'clock or so, and we hope for weather like this. And we are providing a grill, and we're providing lemonade and iced tea. So come out and enjoy yourselves on a nice day, people. The second item is that our middle daughter is back with us.
We will hear from Allison later, won't we? Any others? Rachel.
I just want to report that I had a wonderful time meeting Dorothy. Oh, yeah. In Chicago, I just a big crowd. Good food, a lot of fun. I'm glad it was
first thing.
Saturday was a big prairie book day.
Anyone else? Normally now we have greet your neighbor, but we're not going to do that. Because in a few moments, a little while, you're going to get to dance with your neighbor, and that's more fun anyway. So now we have a choir performance.
I'm next to you, I think.
Is this going to be too much? Is this on? This is not.
I hope so. That's how they record things.
Let's make sure this is off. Is it off?
No. It's the recording thing.
You're in the spotlight, Warren.
Thank you.
Stars of our show are always the graduating eighth graders, but we do like to honor transitions of all kinds, and I always have us sing that song, and I always start to cry, because there are all kinds of transitions. We even heard some, we even have a college graduate today, and it's happens to be a lot of girls today, so that's good to have for that song also. So we like to think about the stages of our lives in this program. And I try to think of something about the graduating eighth graders as a little intro. And I did think of something for both Alice and Justine. Now, Alice and I have been dancing three times together. And that has made me very happy. The first time we went to First Star Eve and we danced to Ladies Must Swing. And then we went to the Dane Dances event, which is organized by our very own Peter Anderson. And we danced there. And then recently at my 50th birthday party, Alice honored me with a dance. So I'm very happy to have danced with Alice, and I'm very happy that she's willing to hang out with old people. Because it makes me very happy. Now, Justine hasn't been at Prairie all that long, but I did notice something about Justine. She is an aunt, in case you don't know. She has a little, I think, five-year-old niece, three and a half, okay, niece named Sierra. And once or twice, Sierra has come on a Sunday morning to visit Prairie, and one time I witnessed Sierra falling down, tripping and falling down and starting to whimper and cry. And Justine did just a wonderful job of comforting her. So I think someday she's going to be a wonderful mother. and Justine also sings. It was very nice to see two of our young people singing in the choir this morning, Justine and three? Justine. Okay, I saw Kate and Eleanor. Why didn't you think of that? Right. Okay. So, but I'm sure there's a good reason. So now I had up here, we ask our eighth graders as part of this service to do a short presentation. It can be anything they want. Some people play the piano. I'm sure Katrina played the flute when it was her turn. Some people read something that is important to them. It doesn't matter what they do. We just ask them to take this big step of standing up in front of this very easy group and doing something. And it's a lot less than they ask people to do when they make a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. That's a lot more work, but it is it's a little difficult. But they said yes with a little arm twisting. And I originally had Alice first and then Justine, but they told me that the mood would be better if Justine went first. So come on, Justine.
It's kind of long, so you guys are going to have to bear with me. When I first found out I was going to do a speech or poem or an instrumental, I figured I'd do something kind of nice and sweet and innocent. But over the course of a week, my plans for a lot of things have changed. I've decided to talk about rape because I think it's a very important social issue. We learn about rape in sexual harassment from school, radio, TV, posters, and other sources. Most people learn from this, but I know a lot of people who think something like rape or sexual harassment would never affect them. I would like to tell this story for two reasons. One, so that everyone learns that rape is not just something that we hear on the radio and from our parents, but a real thing. And two, so that everyone realizes that no matter how many or how few friends you have, your presence changes the world by changing the people around you. Now I'd like to tell a story about one of my very good guy friends named Nick. Nick moved away last school year and came back for eighth grade. While he was away, he got a girlfriend, Emily. Emily was his first everything. They were inseparable. Eventually, when Nick moved back here, he and Emily broke up, but they were still best friends. Always there for each other, even though they were hours apart. This is a relationship that even adults have trouble keeping, but together Nick and Emily could do anything. I didn't really get to become friends with Nick until this year when he moved back, but his personality just seemed to draw people in. He's the kind of person who didn't care what your social status is. As long as you were a good person, that's all that mattered. There were a couple of times where Nick was right there for me when I needed him. He just had that loving personality to him. But on Tuesday night, he received a call that would change his life forever. The voice on the other side muttered that Emily had committed suicide. The next day, Nick came to school, but wasn't the Nick I knew. This Nick looked the same, except for the gouge over his left eyebrow. But this Nick walked with his head down, not talking to anyone, not even looking at anyone. His body dragged through classes and then to home, but it was as if he was on autopilot, just coasting around. The day after that, I was able to convince him to talk to me, and he even called me to tell me what exactly had happened. Apparently, there was a boy jealous of Nick and Emily's relationship. Once Nick left to come back here, he tried to take Nick's place and even tried to have sex with Emily. When Emily said no, he hit her in the back of the knee with a golf club. When Nick found out, he was furious. He did everything he could to keep Emily safe from this boy, but he couldn't do enough. Emily kept getting bad phone calls, and the boy told her that he was going to rape her. Emily couldn't stand it anymore and crumbled underneath all the pressure. When she committed suicide, she left a note for Nick, her mom, and her sister explaining everything. Even though I didn't know this girl, her life touched mine through Nick. I really respect her family, including Nick, for everything they've gone through. This story came so close to home, even though I didn't know Emily. It makes me realize what I have in life and who I have. Who can I turn to? Who can I trust? It makes me think of how much my life is affecting others. It also makes me think how few people are actually realize how bad it can be to be sexually harassed, and how few people realize that rape and sexual harassment are both extremely real and happen to anyone. This story has also helped me make a decision to join a program called Imagine when I get into high school. Imagine is a group of teenagers who work together to teach younger people about life and the realities of rape. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Justine. That was really wonderful and a lot more telling than a little piano piece would have been. So we appreciate you for sharing that with us. Okay, Alice, where'd you go?
I'm going to read a poem by Thich Nhat Hanh. For days to come, the bright silver sky is filled with the soaring beat of phoenix wings. Fathomless heights, white silver waves hold back the pylons of the footbridge. Sunlight calls the nestlings from their sleep of time that's past to the time that's now, so that they may see you off as you return to the long rivers and the wide seas.
I think these two were very astute, knowing that Justine should go first. The poem helped us a little bit after that. It's a little hard to transition here. But now we hope that we are going to have a little bit of fun, because on your chairs are some quizzes that are going to help us get to know Justine and Alice a little better. These are true and false questions that I asked their parents to make up. And the answers will help us get to know them a little better. If you don't have a pen, or raise your hand if you don't have a pen and need one, because there is a box going around, correct? So if there aren't enough pieces of paper, you can share and just put two sets of answers on one. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes, and then I'll ask and see how you're doing, and we'll have one of the parents come up and correct the test. Raise your hand if you need more time. Do you need any more time, or can we get started? Okay. I always like to ask the parents to come forward to correct the test, because, of course, we think there's some stories behind some of these things, right? So why don't Alice, who's going to do this? Larry or Catherine? Okay, come on.
Oh, he doesn't.
What are we supposed to do?
We're just going to.
Walked when she was 8 months old. It's kind of fun to see what they think first before you tell them the answer.
Yeah.
So raise your hand if you think that was true.
False. I'll do that. It was true. And the other, this wasn't quite at 8 months old, but I have this picture in my mind of Alice as this very young toddler standing at our kitchen sink on a chair, because I always had the kids wash dishes with me, and there must have been unbreakable things in there, and she was just making this racket, so it was like she's at the sink making this racket, and then dishes and things were just
must be what she sees when she sees me.
Number two.
Yeah.
Number two, she has a grandmother who's 97 and judged. How many people think true? How many people think false? How many people don't know? It is true. First, her mother, who is the first generation Unitarian Universalist, and she's the second generation.
She helped start the church in South Bend, Indiana. So Alice is the third generation.
She's gone noodling for catfish with me in Oklahoma. That's where you... Noodling is where you get down in the water and stick your hand in the hole where the catfish are, and when they bite your hand, you grab them. How many think truth? How many think false? We have never done that.
Although he is from Oklahoma, and he did know what noodling was.
She can play Bach on the violin. How many people think truth? How many people think false?
It's true. She was a Suzuki violin student for a number of years until she put it down and picked up percussion, which is a new thing for her.
She was born in Indianapolis. How many people think true? How many people think false? That's true.
That's true, and I want to give an honor to Alice's birth mother, to whom I am eternally grateful for bringing Alice into my life.
She has four siblings. How many people think true? Oh, how many people think false? She has three. Ellie, Bruce, and Jacob. She is terrified by a member of the marsupial family. How many people think true? How many people think false?
Mary got it right.
That's true, because one time she went out into the garage to throw something away and opened up the...
Lift up
went
the
into the trash
lid.
Can, and there was a possum.
Not only
a possum, but going...
Yeah. Have you ever seen them hiss? So she was a little kid, and she opened the lid, and there were these teeth, you know.
Her favorite cuisine is Mexican food. How many people think true? How many people think false? That's false. Her favorite is Chinese food. She has performed as Regan in King Lear. How many people think true? How many people think false? That's true. She was Regan in a set of selections from Shakespeare, the Fools and Villains from Shakespeare. And she was Regan.
How many got all 10 right? How about 9? Really, Megan, 9, very good. Well, Megan wins the prize. There isn't any prize, but that's okay.
The honor.
Okay, Stephanie? Okay.
Megan considers this her opportunity to tell tales on her sister. Oh, wait a minute, wrong one. Wrong child. Okay, Justine's favorite food is pizza.
How many think true? How many think false?
It's false.
Yeah.
Her favorite food is pasta and any kind of Mexican food. Any kind of pasta. Sorry, I didn't know that was live. Justine loves animals. How many think it's true? Oh, come on. You got to be kidding. How many think it's true?
How many think it's false?
Ryan! You're alone. It's true. Anything that lives and breathes, she loves. Justine is owned by a cat named Cupid. Anybody think it's false?
The people who said it's false are correct. She's owned by a cat named Sunshine. Who goes into deep depression whenever she's not around.
He goes and loves anybody who
follows
is
us around
him.
And gets very
anybody.
Depressed. He doesn't know what to do with himself. Where are we?
Justine loves the ocean.
True? False? The answer's true. Where are we? Justine wants to be a veterinarian. True?
False?
The answer's false. She actually wants to be a marine biologist.
Justine's favorite food to eat when she's feeling sad or stressed are Oreo cookies.
True? False?
False.
Chocolate ice cream! The more the merrier! Give me a half gallon of ice cream, Mom. I'm hungry. What are you depressed about, Justine?
Okay. Justine hopes to earn a basketball or volleyball scholarship to attend college.
True? False? Answer's true. If her knees hold up.
Justine's favorite kind of horse is an American quarter horse.
True? False?
Frisian.
The answer is a Frisian, which is used to be used in the Middle Ages as for knights to ride, now used as a dressage or driving horse.
One of Justine's favorite activities is attending stock car races.
True? False? The answer
it's
is true. Who would have guessed? I'm still having trouble with that one.
One of Justine's... read that one. Justine's best friend lives in Middleton.
True? False?
False.
The answer is
false. She
lives
in Michigan.
She moved there last year. Oh, I'm supposed to ask, did anybody get all 10 right?
Me. Almost.
9.
8.
8. Kayla got 8 right. The really sad thing is when Stephanie sent me these questions, she also sent me the answers, and I only got 9 right. I couldn't remember. Okay, we have some things to cross off here. Now, we also have a tradition that the graduating 8th graders get a little gift from Prairie to honor them for this transition in their lives, and I think Randy, where is he, is going to come forward and do that.
Despite all Prairie's diversity, we have some formal rituals we always engage in, and one is the giving the pendant, pewter pendant, to our 8th grade graduates. And I would like each one to come up individually and accept this, please. Alphabetical order, perhaps? It will be unusual. Alice. I'm going to be a little bit serious. You ready for a little seriousness? Alice, this is a pewter chalice of Unitarian Universalism, a symbol of all that we hold dear. And I hope you use this idea and this chalice as a reminder of what nourishment you will get from that in the future. Congratulations. Second one for our next one, Justine. Come on up. Hope you use this symbol as a reminder for all the nourishment it will give you in the future.
I'm just remembering that I intended to just
This is a chalice that we light, and the pendants that they have show an oval with the chalice in it. Now, come on. Okay, Rick, a second generation Unitarian, sort of. Study well in his Sunday school classes. Now, all those of our prairie young people that are sitting in the back, just raise your hand if you could have done that. Could you have explained the chalice? Oh, come on. None of you could have explained the chalice? Justine. Okay, good. We also have among us today a couple of high school graduates, which is another pretty important transition. So I would like to ask them to come forward, Katrina and Erica. We'd just like you to tell us what your plans are for next year.
Well, I'm going to go to Knox College next year with Tara. And I hope to study creative writing and history.
Now, I'd like to ask you if you have a piece of advice you'd like to give the eighth graders who are going into high school.
Don't get too stressed out. Take everything with a grain of salt.
That's good advice. Okay, Katrina.
I'm going to Emerson College in Boston next year. And I guess I'm going to major in writing, literature, and publication. Probably. What high school are you guys going to next year? Did you say West? Okay. I remember, I think it was when my brother was going into ninth grade and the high schoolers were asked to give him advice. And I still to this day remember that they told him that the bathroom door is open to the out. So if you're walking down the hallway, you can get smacked by the bathroom door.
I'm going to Grinnell College in Iowa. And I don't know, I guess my piece of advice is to just be yourself. That's really all you can do.
I just finished my first year at Whitewater.
I'm sure you can get some advice.
For high school or college or
for these people that are going to college.
I'd say just try to find a group that you fit in with really well that kind of reflects your personality and. Sleep is overrated, so. No, that's the biggest problem with Whitewater is there isn't really any group that I fit in with, so I don't know.
But there must be. I'll tell them.
I'm still looking, but yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
I just wanted to give you two the sense of November Prairie and the crazy things that you've done while you're here. It has activities, pieces of activities of sleepovers,
Now we'd like to give an opportunity for some appreciation for our teachers who teach the RE program. And Robin's going to do that.
Came with all my props. And Aaron, I hope you won't mind if I just take a few minutes to talk about each and every teacher. Aaron's actually got the hook hidden back there. She's going to yank me out of here. red, no green. Each year we like to give some small token of our appreciation for the work that the teachers do downstairs, sometimes toiling in anonymity. And we have a lot of people downstairs, a lot of dedication from the adults in this congregation toward the religious education program. And so the token that we've chosen this year is a small book from the Unitarian Universalist Association, Skinner House Books, called Roller Skating as a Spiritual Discipline. It's brief meditations on everyday situations in life and how spiritual moments are always out there, you just have to be willing to receive them. And I'll just read a few of the chapter headings before I go on. One is called Grandmother's House, The Bible and Bigfoot, Cosmic Bowling, Dead White Males, Eulogy for a Honda, Heaven and Hell at the Breakfast Table, Repent or Perish, doesn't sound very UU, but, and Moses, Me, and the Meaning of Ministry. Some of the teachers aren't here, but I just wanted to mention their names anyway. Fern Murdoch has taught preschool all year, and Fern and Jolene kind of really transformed the preschool program this year from a glorified babysitting situation to a real learning situation and a UU classroom. So we really appreciate the work they did down there, and they did it while receiving no compensation at all. They did it really as a service. So Fern Murdoch, I don't believe it's here, nor is Jolene, since the preschool year is over. The K-1-2 teachers this year were Amy Wilcox for the 17th consecutive year. I think last year I said we were going to name a wing downstairs. And also Kathy Converse, who is a regular teacher downstairs. Is Kathy here today? She's at Knox College. By the way, I'm an alumnus of Knox College, and I'm really happy to see that Tara and Erica are going to Knox College. In the 3-4-5 class, we have John Peterson. And Rachel Long. John and Rachel have been a team these past 2 years, and I believe they plan to continue next year as a team also. In the middle school class, Carrie Behealer, is she here today? Okay. Carrie has taught regularly downstairs, and she taught with Anna Urbanski in the middle school class here. Anna's here. Anne is going to stay with us up here. Anne is the new chair of the Religious Education Committee, too. And the high school teachers this year were Rick Owens, and Dean Schroeder. We also had two child care assistants this year. These are middle school students, and you may have seen them around, but maybe not had a chance to say hi to them. Ritika Badaju right now is downstairs with the children, and her sister, Asmita Badaju, also was a child care assistant. They both have been very dedicated and very kind and gentle with the children. Yesterday, they both went to Meritor Hospital and took the beginning babysitting class, and so they're working, they received their first level of babysitter certification, and we're really hoping that they stay with us for a long time. And if, so if you see Ritika today, please thank her. We got them two different books. We figured they didn't want the same book. One is A Bucket Full of Dreams. This is a book that we've given out before to teachers. And the other one, a new one, is called Dancing in the Empty Space. Okay. One last thing we need to do before I go sit down is to say thanks to Randy Converse, who for the past 3+ years, almost 4 years, has been director of education. I personally say that that is really an impressive commitment, an impressive level of dedication and commitment. I need to remember that I was director of religious education, but I lasted only 1 year. So Randy far outstripped my contribution. He's just been a wonderful, calming, loving presence downstairs for children and adults. And we're sad to see him put down his hat at DRE, but really happy to have him back upstairs as a member. And so we have a couple things for him. One is Randy, would you come up, please? That many of you saw and signed last week. I want to thank Randy. I'll just pull it out here. A very beautiful card that I found that Susan says. Everybody, thank you everybody for the great job you did writing notes in there. A lot of people shared their thoughts with Randy. The second thing is a framed poem. Now, the idea, like so many good ideas in the past couple of years, was inspired by Aaron Bosch, but beautifully executed by Maxi Butler. The lettering was done by Maxi. And then we had a frame at an art shop at the same time. So I just want to read the poem. To Randy, the most visible artists we know are those artists whose medium is life itself, the ones who express the unexpressible without brush, hammer, clay, or guitar. They neither paint nor sculpt. Their art is a gift from within. Life grows where they pass. They see and draw with their being. They are the artists that nurture life. That's adapted from Jay Stone. Thank you very much, everybody. I hope you continue to support the RE program with the new chair.
I wasn't prepared for this talk. One thing I want to say is that being a part of this community is quite a pleasure. I'm always, this is an example of what Prairie does best. Despite the business of the world, you have time to be very thoughtful. And I want to thank you for that. I don't know how you do it, but despite it, you're very thoughtful people. Each and every one of us, not just me. The other piece is I want to thank you for giving me the honor of doing this with you and for you. And, as I am apt to do, it's more appropriate than words. Thank you.
Well, that's going to be hard to follow, but... I'm here now in my with my new hat of RE committee chair, and I want to make sure I got this done before we went outside. To kind of gently remind you that the RE program does not run without the participation of a lot of people who would rather be up here, but we need some of you downstairs at least some of the time. So I'm going to, if you know me well, you know that I have a song for every occasion and an occasion for every song. So today you will probably recognize the melody at any rate, but I'm going to do this a cappella. The words, though, are by Barbara Stevens of the Michael Servetus UU Fellowship in Vancouver, Washington. Okay. The teachers, the mentors, the partners, the peers, the ones who give themselves, who share their love. The laughter, the questions, the music, the tears, the chance to lie and watch the clouds above, to see the world as children once again, to take a hand and find you've got a friend. There's no business like kid business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything about it is a joy. Where else could you have that happy feeling that comes a-stealing when kids abound? There's no people like kid people. They smile, they're all aglow. They can open up their hearts and welcome in the youngsters who are in need of them. But they get their kid love back in a thousand ways, so come watch our kids grow. The smiles, the dances, the wisdom, the games, the things they do will lift you when you're down. The squabbles, the struggles, the heartache, the blame, the most frustrating moments do come round. But when they pitch in, speak out, help a friend, then you know why you're doing this again. There's no business like kid business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything about it is a joy. Where else could you have that happy feeling that comes a-stealing when kids abound? There's no people like kid people. They smile, they're all aglow. They can open up their hearts and welcome in the youngsters who are in need of them. But they get their love back in a thousand ways. So come watch our kids grow. So come watch our kids grow. Yeah!
Now, anyone who is very inspired, I give you permission right now to get up and go see Anne. I will pass the basket for any kind of other donations, and then we really want to zip along here, so we'll have introductions of any guests and visitors. Even if you, now you've been here for the second time, I've forgotten your name, but stand up and tell us your name again one more time. Yes. Erica, yes. Welcome back. And Sarah, tell us your parents' names. Any other visitors today?
Mm-hmm. And she's a member of the Union Church on the scene.
Okay. We heard you say that, and we expect to see you again. Now we have one more in the back. Okay, well, we know her well, but that's okay. Rachel doesn't. I had transitioned you already. However, Rachel was stuck downstairs for a lot of weeks, so she wants to hear your name. So we have a chance now for prairie announcements, but please, essential prairie announcements only and brief. Mary.
The women's group will meet after the Maypole dance downstairs. If you didn't bring food, come
in. Barb. Whoops, that's this Barb first, sorry.
For about 1 minute before we go outside.
Barbara.
We can also pick next week. You know what time?
10 till 2.
Directions need a little quick back if you're out on the table and you don't know how to get there.
scale?
I have a few shrubs and trees to give away. I'll be outside the
Rosemary?
Anybody like
to get up early tomorrow morning? I'll be on New York. It's 8 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Al. Some of us are going, my siblings are on the Madison Trail immediately after the first. There's time to get the
bicycle. Jody.
And Prairie Volunteer Fire here. Anybody want to help me and Danny Walken?
That was the inaugural address of our new membership chair. Have another song, but we're not going to do that because we're going to dance. But before we leave, Norma needs to come and give us directions while we're here and listening. Where is Norma? There we go. I'm going to cross everything out.
Dancing on a Maypole is very simple, it's very old, and everybody can join in. You can't all do it at the same time because we don't have enough rhythm. Okay. So we count as maybe have an 18 and a 15 and a 16, and then at the very end, we can all take hands and go on in and go on out and go on in and go on out. Now there is one thing about it. If we're not to get all strangled, that is, if some people go much faster than others, the rhythms all get muddled up. So Mike is going to play, and I will show you by going up and down how often you go over and under. When you get outside, you go over and under to the music. Not some people over and under. Some people over. But then you meet. You have trouble. Here's the music. To do the practice step inside because there's a microphone and you'll be able to hear. Those who would like to practice should stay in here just for a moment.